This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, October 17th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Jordan builds momentum ahead of House vote. USDA awards $52.6 million in fertilizer grants, and weather impacting Brazilian planting. Jordan building momentum ahead of a House vote. It's been 2 weeks since the House had a speaker, but that could end today. Jim Jordan flipped a series of GOP holdouts yesterday, including Armed Services Chairman Mike Rogers of Alabama, and was building momentum throughout the day. Jordan ultimately must get at least 217 votes, assuming that all 212 Democrats would vote against him. A Jordan victory would be a historic win for hardline conservatives in the House, although he clearly seems to have provided some assurances that have won over moderate farm district colleagues. In an interview with conservative talk show host Eric Erickson yesterday, House Freedom Caucus member Chip Roy of Texas said Jordan, quote, is a real conservative that the grassroots will trust and believe in. Roy also suggested Jordan is going to have to make some compromises. If we're successful, it would be an enormous, enormous victory. But we all have to have a little grace to figure out how to give Jim some rope to lead. USDA awards $52.6 million in fertilizer grants. Efforts to turn chicken manure into fertilizer were awarded more than $7 million in rural development grants as a part of a package of $52.6 million in grants announced by the USDA yesterday. BioNutrients Ag, a joint venture of Hello Nature and MPS Egg Farms, is getting $5.5 million to offset the cost of equipping a facility in Wabash, Indiana, to process chicken manure and other waste from egg production facilities into fertilizer, that the USDA said in a summary of the grants. Another $2 million is going to EnviroCure, located in Pennsylvania and Ohio, which USDA said has developed a way to quickly upcycle chicken manure into biofertilizers and biostimulants. Included in yesterday's announcement, USDA said that the fertilizer program was announced about a year and a half ago. 33 projects have received more than $121 million. Funding available under the Fertilizer Production Expansion Program was increased to $900 million in June. More from the Secretary. In an interview yesterday with Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, he said the department is reviewing about 60 applications and would be making decisions on those soon. The secretary said companies have been more than matching the grants. You're looking at literally billions of dollars eventually when this all is all said and done of investment by the private sector, he said. USDA, more requests to insure double-cropped acres. The Agriculture Department said it received over 4,100 new requests for crop insurance coverage after it relaxed rules allowing producers in more than 1,500 counties to insure double-cropped acres. Nearly 1 million crop acres were insured in states that saw double-cropping rules changed, which is up 43% from the average between 2014 and 2022, that according to USDA in a press release. The agency said Illinois, Ohio, and Michigan, three states that saw double-cropping rule changes, also saw increases in winter wheat plantings. Winter wheat plantings in Illinois, it said, jumped nearly 40%, while increasing 30% in Ohio, 21.5% in Michigan. Now, take note, the rule change was part of the White House bid to bolster wheat production in response to the war in Ukraine, though the National Association of Wheat Growers previously estimated that the amount of wheat available to be grown under the new rules would fall below what would be needed to offset losses resulting from the conflict. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Supreme Court lets pro-PETA ruling from appeals court stand. A federal appeals court ruling that found video recording as a part of news gathering is protected speech will stand after the Supreme Court rejected a petition brought by the North Carolina Farm Bureau and the state's attorney general. The Bureau and the state sought review of the decision, which held for people of the ethical treatment of animals and the group's challenge to the state's ag gag law. The 2-1 ruling partially enjoined enforcement of the law. The decision, quote, upheld that undercover investigative work is protected by the First Amendment and supports much needed accountability across the agriculture industry in North Carolina. PETA said when the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals issued its decision in February. The NCFB and Attorney General had argued that the High Court should take on the case because it presents a conflict among the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals over whether unauthorized recording on non-public property is constitutionally protected speech. In addition to North Carolina, the Fourth Circuit's jurisdiction includes South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, and West Virginia. Weather slowing planting by some Brazilian soybean farmers. Brazil's farmers are making progress in planting this year's crop, but it's going a little slower than expected because of higher than normal temperatures and sporadic rainfall across some regions. That's according to the consulting firm Ag Rural. Some farmers in the key growing state of Mato Grosso may have to replant, the firm said. Still, Brazil's 23 crop is 17% planted. That's up from 10% last week, but also down from 24% complete at this time 1 year ago. Haitian-Dominican Republic border spat takes toll on the ag trade and farmers. The Haitian people are already suffering under widespread gang violence, but a border agreement with the Dominican Republic is adding to misery. Commerce between the two countries that allowed Dominican deliveries of pasta, soybean oil, cereal, wheat flour, poultry, pork, and eggs to Haiti remains closed, that according to a report from the USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. At the core of the fight is a canal that Haiti is building along a border river that Dominican leaders say is stealing water from the country's farmers. After 19 days of border closure, it is evident that the commercial shutdown has had a significant impact on both countries, that according to the report out of the FAS office in Santo Domingo. Haiti holds the position of being the second largest export destination for Dominican products, and it relies heavily on the DR for a variety of essential commodities. That includes food. I'll take note. Many of the ag commodities sent across the border originated in the U.S. and are often processed in the Dominican Republic before being shipped to Haiti. The U.S. exported $126 million worth of wheat to the DR in 2022, much of which is milled and then shipped across the border to Haitian bakeries. Finally, here's today's He Said It. We were creative in using it before. One wonders why we can't be creative in using it now. That Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack suggesting the use of the USDA's Commodity Credit Corporation account to meet needs that can't be funded through the next farm bill. Vilsack made the comment in an interview with me yesterday. He laid out a plan to House and Senate appropriators last month to provide $2.5 billion in CCC funding for food aid and market promotion. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, October 17th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.